The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Oh, and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel, and we are on our inaugural journey of a video podcast.
It's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. Looking at your own face on the computer screen is not always the best.
Well, I mean, especially when it's our mugs, I guess.
Huh? Yeah, hey, what can we say, man? I'll try to keep a smile on our face.
Yeah. So I think what's our plan tonight is we're just going to talk about the two crazy NBA games that happened tonight. Does that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds like a plan.
Okay, so the first game is the 76ers game, and it was like the whole revenge game, you know, Minnesota playing 76ers. It was in Philly, so I don't think it's as meaningful as if it was being played in Minnesota. But the 76ers won 149-107. Joel Embiid had a crazy night, per usual. Ben Simmons almost had a triple-double. I think he missed the triple-double by an assist. Joel Embiid went 10 of 17, 7 of 8 from the line, 13 rebounds, ended with 31. Ben Simmons went 20-11-9, and he went 6 of 7 at the free throw line, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty good for Simmons.
Let me see if I can pull up what good old Jimmy Butler did, because I guess that's probably the most intriguing of the three. Jimmy Butler, he had 19 points, so nothing stellar. But, I mean, they blew him out, and, I mean, it was pretty ugly.
Jimmy must have inspired his team to really get after it and send a message to Minnesota.
So we all know
Carl
Joel
Towns,
Embiid.
Towns didn't do anything, right? He had like 12, right?
Yeah, he was pretty quiet. So Joel, you know, he's not too shy on the social media aspect of things. And I believe I retweeted it, so I'm going to pull it up here. Joel Embiid wrote, "It was an honor to be part of the third stringers and get a win against the real NBA starters. Trust the process."
Yeah, I didn't even understand that. I saw that earlier. Can you explain that to me? I didn't get what he was trying to say.
So he was talking about, I believe it was Wiggins. It was either Wiggins or Town made a comment about Butler going to play with some bums or something. And I didn't quite understand why they would say that, because they're historic records, but I think that's what I'm pretty sure that's what he's referencing. And, you know, that was an hour ago and he's already at like 8,000 retweets. So
it's a quality tweet, even though you don't even know what it means. It's funny even without any context to it.
Well, pretty much every Joel Embiid tweet is quality. Let's be honest.
I mean, he's definitely an entertaining Twitter follow. There's no question about that.
So I think it's pretty clear and safe to say that Minnesota's pretty much the dregs right now. I mean, other than the Cavs, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere.
But maybe the Sixers are starting to gel. Maybe they gelled over, you know, let's annihilate the Timberwolves.
They might be a cohesive bond for one game, but I'm not really buying into this whole Jimmy Butler thing. I don't know. It seems like they seemed to be okay, and then they were rocky, and, you know, maybe they're okay for this game. We'll see how it transpires after this. I don't know.
I'm not sold on Butler either as a teammate. I think once you've kind of established who you are as a less than stellar teammate, I think that pattern probably tends to continue. It's interesting to me that they blew out Minnesota. Just, you know, you wonder who has the ire of Jimmy Butler. Is it really just Towns and Wiggins? Was it, you know, you wouldn't think it was Tibbs, since obviously he's gone now. You're not trying to gain revenge on him. And I also think it's interesting that Towns only had 12, and he's been killing it lately. I mean, he had that one stat line where he had 27, and like he had 5 blocks and 4 steals or something.
He was like, he was really close to a 5-by-5, right? Game as well.
Yeah. Cause I think he was, I think he had 4, I don't know. I think they're at 4 blocks or 4 steals. I can't remember, but yeah, but he put up 20, he's been putting up big numbers. So it was a little bit surprising, maybe proving Jimmy Butler's point that, you know, maybe he's not as elite as he thinks he is.
Yep. All right. And then the other game that we'll talk about, was the Warriors and the Nuggets. And, you know, the Nuggets were the one seed in the West. I don't know where the standings shake out now after the game, but the Warriors put up 51 points in the first quarter, making 10 three-pointers.
That's a lot of three-pointers. 51 points.
And
that's,
what's even, Denver scored 38 in the first quarter, and we're losing by 13.
There was not a ton of defense in that particular quarter.
I was going to say that, yeah, and I don't know what the final ended up. The final ended up 142-111, so it was pretty ugly.
It's just amazing that teams are putting up 142 points on a semi-regular basis now. I mean, that score is not even that crazy in terms of a point total.
Yep. So Curry had 31, Durant had 27, Thompson had 31. Draymond Good, old reliable, had 4.
Draymond, what's he? He's averaging like 6. He's been god awful.
What is he so bad? When Looney has 9 points and Quinn Cook has 11, and and it's not like, oh, they're blowing him out so they didn't get a lot of minutes. I think Draymond played 31 minutes. He played the most minutes on the team tonight.
Here's a question for you. What is Draymond's value on the open market when he becomes a free agent at this point in what he does? Like, he can't be as valuable to any other team as he is to the Warriors. I mean, there's no way.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about too on that is, like, if this team isn't constituted the way it is now, is he even worth it to the Warriors? Like,
that's what I'm saying. If
Clay leaves, which all indications are that him and Durant are really considering leaving, which I still think is crazy. If I'm them, I get that they want to do their own thing, but at the same time, like, why would you leave what they've got going? But anyways, that's a conversation for another day. But if they leave, hey, what's left? Steph Curry and Draymond Green. They're not doing anything, the two of them, without the other two. I mean, personally, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't mean just to me, Draymond, again, he has value for this current Warriors team. He has value even if Durant leaves and Clay stays. But if he goes out on the open market, what team is going to want to sign him? I mean, how much are you willing to pay a guy who averages 6 points a game? I know that he does other things on the floor, but I mean, I just can't see where anybody's going to pay him.
I don't see it either. I don't. You know, but I don't know.
Want,
you know,
he's going to want a max. He's going to want a max. He's crazy.
Listen,
there's no way.
Listen, if you would have told me that Tristan Thompson was going to make the max a few years ago, I would have told you you're crazy. And we paid him. Someone's gonna pay him money. Someone's gonna pay him. Whether we think it's right or not, I mean. Look at Timothy Mozgov. He didn't get a max contract, but he got a ridiculous amount of money. And
Draymond's going to get a ridiculous amount of money no matter what it is. But he is not getting a max contract from anybody except the Warriors. Let's put it that way.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, like, Mozgov got a ridiculous contract, and
there's no more cap spikes coming.
He's been traded 4 times since he got his contract. That's crazy.
Is he still playing?
I believe that he, last time I checked, he was on like Charlotte.
I got nothing on that. I have no. You could tell me. You could make up a team, and I wouldn't know.
I guess we have to settle end this podcast by telling you where Timothy Mozgov is here. Hold on, Mozgov. Oh, the first thing when you type Mozgov in the thing is Sky Zone commercial. Did you ever see that?
That's the best. We might have to tag that on to the end of this video.
Okay.
That'd be a great way to wrap it up. Sponsored, yeah. Hoop Heads podcast sponsored by Sky Zone. Come on. Let's throw that on there.
Free advertising.
I like it.
Okay. So he is currently a member of the Orlando Magic, apparently.
All right. Well, him and Mo Bamba are going at it every day.
How much money do you think he's making?
Is he making? He signed like I want to say it was like 4 years, $64 million. So he's making like $18 million a year. Is that about right?
Well, so I think he was on a scale contract. So like it's not like the same amount every year. If I remember correctly, it was like, so this year he's making 16.5, but last year he only made 15. So it must be like as the contract goes, he's making more money, would be my assumption. I don't exactly know.
To say.
But, I mean, he's making a lot of money.
He's like Tom Vu.
And he was one of the – but he was the fun fact in Wikipedia about Timothy Mozgov is he's one of the first Russians to win an NBA championship alongside Sasha Khan.
All right. Now that is a dynamic duo of NBA basketball, if I've ever heard of it. I really like that. So, I like those two.
We have really coming up with some good conversation in this one. I guess we'll end with one thing about the Cavs. The win the other night, you were disappointed, right?
Absolutely. How do you go and beat the Lakers? That's terrible.
That just tells you that the Lakers are in trouble.
The Lakers it points out a couple things. One, points out the Lakers are not really that good. Two, points out that LeBron is still just, it's incredible what he carries, the weight that he drags around on his back, both last year with the Cavs and now this year with the Lakers. He makes everybody better. He's so good. And yet, you know, those supporting casts, I won't be surprised if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, especially if he doesn't get back soon.
Yeah, I think they're out now. I think that loss to the Cavs bumped them to the 8th seed. And I think if I remember reading yesterday that they were like a half game out. Now, you know, a lot of things can happen. He can come back and they could go on a 7-game win streak and then we won't even be questioning it. But I mean, I just don't know. They're definitely in trouble and they need to figure something out before it gets too late.
Yeah, he's got to come back. I mean, if he doesn't come back, I don't think there's any doubt that they're not a playoff team again. Yeah. So, and again, I don't think, barring something they do at the trade deadline, that team's not good enough to get to the finals this year. So, you know, what if they don't make the playoffs, if they do make the playoffs, you know, whatever, especially if LeBron misses a huge chunk of the season, I don't think it really impacts anything, because the reality is the only thing that matters for LeBron is titles. So if he's not going to win the title, then it doesn't matter if he misses the playoffs this year, as long as he's ready to go for next year.
I kind of disagree with that, though. I don't think the titles even matter to him anymore, which is sad, because like,
don't matter to him personally, or don't matter to his legacy.
I don't think they matter to him personally. I think to his legacy they matter, but I don't think to him they do, because if that's the case, why go to L.A.? Like, that doesn't make that. And that's going back to a conversation we had a long time ago. You knew L.A. wasn't going to contend this year. Like,
I think the thought process was that long term, which, again, I'm not sure why he should be thinking long term. But I think long term, he's saying, I'm going to have a better opportunity to get guys to come to L.A. Like, you know, again, as good as he was here in Cleveland, he never really necessarily got guys to come to play with him in Cleveland. It never was as easy as him snapping his fingers.
Dude, we got Dwayne Wade's corpse last year.
And we got Shaq's corpse too. We got a lot of guys. We got a lot of corpses. Antoine Jameson. We got a lot. But you know what I'm saying. I think he thought in the long term that it would be easier to get guys to LA. And you know, some of these other situations could have been more short term, in terms of where he went. And like I said, he could have gone to Houston, but him and James Harden don't fit together. There's no way those two guys. I mean, there's not, you know, they need like seven balls between the two of them.
Yeah, I don't really want to spend any time on it, but man, he's playing just bonkers right now.
Yeah, his stat lines are crazy. I texted you the other night. The scoring 38. While going 1 of 17 from three, seriously might be the craziest box score I've ever seen. I mean, it seriously might be.
Well, then last night he had like 50 some and whatever. I have to say, Mike, I didn't think I was going to say this, but he's starting to get that. For me, I'm not saying he's MVP, and I don't think that he can be, but if he keeps putting up these crazy 35. Well,
if this continues to the end of the season, I don't think there's any way you can deny him. Especially. Now Capella's out for a month. You know that, right?
Oh, how that? Wait, I did not hear this. What happened to that?
He injured. I forget what happened. I just saw the headline that he's out. He's going to be out for a month. So, I mean, if he continues on this tear and they keep winning to the degree that they've won over the last 6 weeks, he gets them up into the top four seed in the playoffs and he ends up averaging 36 a game for the season. I mean, I think... there's still a case to be made for Giannis because of the improvement the Bucks have made and how amazing he's been. But if Harden averages 35 and drags that roster without Chris Paul and, you know, they lose Capella for a big chunk of the season.
And those two big offseason signings are paying off right now for the next month. I mean, do we even know when Chris Paul is coming back? Like, they said anything?
I mean, if I was the Rockets, I mean, you almost sit them till there's like a week to go in the regular season, and then just try to bring them back just to, you know, kind of fit them in, just to try to get them keep them healthy. I mean, there's at this point at his age, I don't know that there's a good track record of him being able to compete for, you know, 60 straight games and not, you know, not have hamstring troubles.
Yeah. Hi. Speaking of bringing people back, I'm cycling back to what we were talking about a little bit ago, Warriors. You know, Boogie's supposed to play this week.
Is he really?
Yeah, I read a report, I think it was Sunday, that he's targeting the 18th, so that would be 2 days from now. I mean, I don't know if it's been adjusted, but that seems really quick to come back from an Achilles injury, and I don't know why they would.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, there's no rush in the Warriors' mind. I mean, why rush to get him back? I mean, from Boogie's perspective, he wants to get back so that he can show that he's back and
money.
You know, yeah, get himself in line for the next contract. But, you know, from the Warriors' perspective, I don't know that it matters.
They throw him out there for like 5 minutes and then be like, hey, here, get 5 minutes and just get a few minutes in the game, and then we'll work you in as we need you. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I often wonder, like, with guys who have those kind of major injuries, whether it's a knee or an Achilles or, you know, something like that, or even, you know, Gordon Hayward's situation. Like, you would think that there's just a point where the doctors say either you're coming back, you know what I mean? Like, you're healthy. And whether you're healthy today or you're healthy 6 weeks from now, you know, to what degree, once you're cleared to go, is there really benefit to sitting out another 6 weeks or another 3 months? I don't know the answer to that, but it just seems
ask
like
Markelle Fultz.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Sorry,
there.
I hadn't had a Markelle Fultz reference, so I had
no. We didn't get one. I think we've talked about him on every NBA pod. I've heard some crazy different like trade, you know, situations out there with Fultz. Just, you know, I mean, guys that are.
You know the Mavs are shopping Dennis Smith Jr.
I did see that. Yeah.
Like, I mean, and he's been resting the last three games with a back injury, supposedly. So what happened? Something had to have happened. That, I mean, the Mavs are in playoff contention, and Dennis Smith Jr. is a pretty good piece to have on your roster, I would think. So something must have happened. Like, obviously.
There's got to be some kind of tension between him and Luka. You'd have to think.
That's crazy.
I mean, Dennis Smith is kind of a, what's the right word? A ball dominant player. You know what I mean? He's going to play better with the ball in his hands than he does playing off the ball. And obviously at this point, it certainly seems like if you're Dallas, you want the ball in Luka's hands. You don't want it in Dennis Smith's hands, you know, comparatively. Not that Dennis Smith is a bad player, because he's not, but you definitely want Luka. You want Luka to have the ball. So there's just not room for two guys who, you know, who need the ball all the time.
Right. I don't have anything else. We kind of talked about more than we were going to. So.
Oh, we got to talk one more thing. What about the Patrick McCaw tampering situation? When I read the article that said that the Cavs might lose their number one draft pick as a result of this.
You were going to pull your hair out?
Yeah, I was going to pull my little fuzz out that I have up going up there. And I need a haircut for all of you out there. This is the longest my hair has been in like 4 years. So it's been a busy 2 weeks.
I think we should bring back the waves.
You think so?
Back to the 90s.
We could, man. I bring back the flat top. I could bring back the Pat Riley that I had when I was student teaching 25, 30 years ago. It'd be great.
No, I think the Cavs, I think Winhurst kind of, you know, I think that was kind of sensationalism journalism that they would lose a first round draft pick, because I think Winhurst basically came out and said, if the NBA does that, there's going to be bigger problems with situations. But he did say that he does expect that if they do in their investigation find things, that they might take a like future draft pick or money, but he doesn't think that they would take this year's first round draft pick.
Let's hope that if there was any shenanigans going on, let's hope they weren't dumb enough to put it, you know, in an email or a text, or, you know, let's hope whatever discussions they had.
Hopefully they didn't use a personal email.
Yeah. Let's hope not. I just know that when I read that, I was like, oh, that is terrible.
But notice after they made that original announcement talking about it, no one's really talked about it ever since. I think it was just, the NBA said they are opening an investigation per the Warriors' request, which cracks me up. You know, whatever. You stick it to us again. Go ahead. Yeah, whatever.
Well, we were trying to stick it to them. So
it's I know. So
it's all good. Who knows?
But apparently, like everything that they said, though, was he came in and he was just terrible. I mean, even when you watch the minutes on the floor that he played with the Cavs, and I mean, the Cavs are a terrible roster. Let's be honest. It's terrible. He didn't look like he knew what the. I mean, I know he didn't, but he didn't look like he was really adding anything to the roster. And you know, supposedly, they saw the opportunity to have Payne on their team. And I think, I don't know how much the Cavs you've watched, but Payne has looked far better in his stint with the Cavs than McCaw looked in his three games. So, and obviously McCaw hadn't really played NBA basketball all season, and Payne has. But I think. You know, the Cavs have reasonable explanation to say, hey, his contract wasn't guaranteed. He wasn't playing very good. And this guy is an opportunity for us to pick him up and, you know, possibly, you know, help us win too many games to make Coach Mike and Coach Jason upset. but I don't know. And I don't even think McCaw's seen many minutes with Toronto since they picked him up. And they don't even have, like, Lowry, I think Lowry came back, but he's not like playing full minutes yet, right? I think
I saw him play the other day.
I mean, McCaw's not playing minutes for the Toronto, and obviously Toronto is a superior team to the Cavs, so I don't know.
One more thing. So I was listening to the Ringer NBA podcast this morning. They were doing comparisons. They did statistical comparisons, and so. They went through all the, you know, different rookies and whatever, and they got to Colin Sexton. And the interesting part about Colin Sexton's comparisons were, honestly, I don't even remember the names of the players, but the comparisons were that none of them were point guards because he doesn't really get any assists. So he was compared to his career was compared to small forwards and power forwards because he just doesn't have – he has no passing.
That's probably better than I was going to go because I thought you were going down the line because this is the last two games that I've watched him play. I thought Deion Waiters 2.0.
That's not a good look.
It's not a good look. He's dribbling the ball and shooting shots. There was a possession the other night, and I don't know, I'm sure everyone's seen the meme of Deion Waiters standing in the corner waving his hands in the air for LeBron to pass him the ball. There was a possession where our other friend, Jordan Clarkson, at the basketball. And come on, you know he's not passing you the ball, Colin Sexton. But Colin Sexton's like waving his arms like on a desert island, trying to get their attention and calling for the ball. You know you're not getting the ball. And Jordan Clarkson, what did he do?
Jordan Clarkson, he loves to shoot.
He took a shot. So I don't know that what I've watched in the last two games, you know, and he's not putting up bad stat lines, and he is on my fantasy basketball team now because someone dropped him. I dropped Rodney Hood and picked up Colin Sexton. So I have Colin Sexton and I have Chetty Osmond on my team, who's actually been playing, you know, the last few games has been playing pretty. I think he's averaging like 19 a game the last five. But anyways, I watched him play, and I'm like, oh, God, Deion Waiters. This is
That's the problem. I mean, that's the one negative to the tanking situation is if you get a young guy that's in there that you're in a losing situation. And so as a result of that, you can kind of, I don't know, not do what you want is maybe the wrong way to say it. But, you know, there's not as much accountability in a team that wins 9 games compared to a team that wins 45. Yep. And so that's the danger is that you have a kid that could develop into a really good player that just ends up building bad habits and losing habits because the team surrounding him, you know, is a losing team. And so that's the danger in tanking. But I think, you know, we talked about it before that when they're in theoretically ready to be able to get back to the point where they might want to contend for the playoffs, they only have a couple guys under contract. And most of the guys that are on the current roster, you know, wouldn't be here if we were to hit on something in the lottery and get lucky and ended up getting another, you know, another great player.
So I know he has assurances for next year. Is Larry Drew the head coach at the start of next season?
Oh, that's a good question. Does it depend
if we get Zion?
If not Larry Drew, the question is then who do you get? I mean, if you get Zion, the job becomes, you know, much more attractive, but how attractive does it become in the sense of you know, like the Pelicans have Anthony Davis. You know, he's one of the five best players in the league, and they still, you know, they can't even get above 500. So how good is, as good as I think Zion is going to be at 19 years old, is Zion turning your franchise around where you're going to go from winning, you know, 15 games to winning 50? I mean, I don't see that happening with, you know, any of these guys. I mean, it just doesn't happen anymore, because yeah. those players, they're just not as developed as a guy who went to school for 4 years and comes out and now is 22 or 23 years old, like might have happened in the, you know, in the 80s. So yep. long term, I don't know if it matters in terms of who the coach is. It's just who's out there that you want to hire. If you're not going to hire Larry Drew, what name is out there that you'd
Tom Thibodeau,
Coach K, you know, bring him up from Duke to, you know,
maybe we get a call from Joe's decision and see if he'll get Coach K online.
Yeah, that'd be good. And maybe Joe can have some influence on Coach K's eventual decision. Although Coach K, he's got to be 70 years old.
Yeah, he's got to be close.
He's got to be close. I mean, that's not necessarily the kind of guy you'd want to hire for, you know, long-term stability of your franchise. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. If I had to bet, I would say yes, just because, again, I don't know who else is out there.
He's probably already paying four coaches this year, so, you know, he just probably doesn't want to pay anymore.
Yeah, he just needs a few more people to, you know, lose at blackjack. It's all right.
Yep. All right. I think we've gone 27 minutes now. I think we're good. What do you
think?
Yeah,
I think we went a little longer than we thought. So to everyone out there, thanks for listening to our NBA pod tonight, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
All right, so now I'm going to stop recording.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.